On this week's episode of the Rockstar Dad Show, we talk with Alan Robert from the alternative metal band Life of Agony. Alan tells us about many of the hardships the band had to overcome, which ultimately led to them making a documentary called The Sounds of Scars on Amazon Prime. Alan is also an amazing artist, and he has worked on, written, and animated multiple comics and animated series. And now, Alan has an adult coloring book series called The Beauty of Horror. Hang out with us as Alan tells us all about his life as a musician and an artist on this week's episode of The Rockstar Dad Show.
This is a song for my friends Jared and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know. Some rockstar dads who started a show. So here's the next episode.
Welcome to the Rockstar Dad Show, and I'll just admit that I overslept, and I got up here. I forgot my glasses. I didn't get to put ice in my water. My water's just left over from last night in my huge cup.
That's the worst, is leftover water that's not even cold anymore.
Yeah. It's what chilly because, I'm going to drink it. But
oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah,
but I mean, it's like, you know, I'm in my Stanley Cup, and hold on, let me see how it is. Yeah, I mean, it's not like room temperature, but it's
like lake beer.
Yeah. I like cold water. You know, a lot of times people are just like, you want room temperature or cold? And I'm like, I feel like I should have to request it at room temperature, you know, but I guess it's becoming more and more popular these days.
I 100% agree. Like, if you order water, it should just be ice water unless you say not. That's like whenever you go to a restaurant with children and you order a milk for the kid and the waitress goes, or waiter goes, do you want chocolate or regular? And you're like, yeah, if I would have wanted chocolate, I would have said chocolate. And now we have to have chocolate.
100%. Yeah, exactly. Or they just bring you like an adult fucking chocolate milk and set it in front of the 4-year-old and it's like bigger than their head, you know? And you're like, oh, great.
In an actual glass.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Fucking. You're so right about the chocolate milk thing, you know? Like, you know, and that, like at the, or if the kid is just, because my kids always order for themselves, right? And they're, you know, that's one of those things. We're a restaurant family, so the kids start training early. And, you know, the kid's just like, yeah, I'll do the pancakes. Would you want chocolate chips in those? And it's like, okay, listen, we didn't even make that a fucking, there was not even a choice given, you know, that you're so right about that. You know, don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, don't offer the kids things that you know the kids are going to go for, right? I mean, it's sweets. You don't, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Come on, be better.
You want whipped cream on that? Yeah, I want whipped cream on there. Why wouldn't I? You know?
Yeah.
It's the chocolate milk thing, though, is so spot on, man.
You don't do that with an adult, though. It's like, I'll have the grilled chicken salad, and you want bacon and a honey glaze, and let's just go ahead and fry that chicken for you.
Right. No, do you want extra croutons? And do you like croutons?
Yeah.
I fucking love croutons.
What's not to like about a crouton?
I don't know, but especially if they're like the, you know, like the big square, and you know, it's got like the, there's like oregano in there or some shit, you know, and you dip that into the dressing. You know, the fucking creamy dressing that's on your healthy salad, you know, and like that's like 200 calories a pop. But man, is that delicious.
Yeah. Whenever you're a kid and you go to the salad bar, it's like, I'll have one scoop of lettuce, I'll have 5 scoops of cheese and 3 scoops of croutons. Yeah.
Yeah. And every once in a while at the salad bar, though, it's like they had goldfish and chocolate pudding, too, you know. And, like, you know, like, oh yeah, I do want the salad bar. Are you really want the salad bar? Or are you just going to get pudding? Yes, I am going to, yes, I do. And I am.
What happened? What was the meeting or the decision-making that's like, you know what? Chocolate pudding is salad. Let's put it on the salad bar. Let's
put that on the salad bar. I guarantee you it's like this, it's kid bait, you know? So once the kids figure out that it's there, is that still like that? I mean, it's been so long since I've been to a South, because even like you and I a few years ago went to Jason's Deli, and I don't, you got the salad bar, I think, but I didn't. I ordered what I wanted, and they made it for me.
I was trying to think. I think Jason's Deli is like the only place I can think of that I would go to that has a salad bar, other than like grocery stores have like their deli salad bar to go thing these days.
It was a big deal though when we were kids. Like you went to restaurants, just had salad bars, and you know, like that was sort of the thing. Like you would order your entree, and they'd hand you a plate, and or the plates were there stacked up, either one, and you'd just go make your salad. You know, which again was as many crunchy things as I could put on my plate. you know, because sometimes they'd have those little stick things. You know what I'm talking about? They're like little sticks.
Those things are good. I don't think I ever, that I can remember, made a huge mess going to the salad bar, but I can't imagine giving Mia, my 5-year-old, a plate and saying, here, go make something up there. First off, she wouldn't touch anything on there because she's a picky eater. But if she were to eat, if they had goldfish up there, there'd be goldfish in every single, you know, vat up there.
It's a good point. You know, it's a good, like, you know, because I will say that I feel like we, you know, our generation of kids, we just must have been trained to do it, because I definitely never made a mess and I don't really remember seeing salad bars that were out of whack, you know. But if you think about it, it's like now, like when you go on a cruise, for example, which they still don't have this figured out, and they're going to have to do it, by the way. And I hate to take this away from the public, the cruising public, but we do not need to be serving ourselves food on boats. Like there needs to be somebody standing there putting, we point and they put it on our plate. We don't need to be all touching the same.
I 100% get your point, and I agree with the sentiment. I do not see that going away on cruise ships. Like that
you
is.
Can't, yeah.
That
we can't
is
keep
like
touching
a thing.
The same spoon. Yeah. We can't keep touching the same spoon, Gary. It's fucking crazy. Even like in the artist area on the cruise line that I'm not going to, or whatever cruise, the time that we all got COVID, and I'm not calling them out, but like every musician got it because we were all eating in the same spot. And like I watched people come in there and not use hand sanitizer and shit. And the general population thing, like I would be drunk and I think I hit that like super late at night or whatever. And it's just chaos. You know, and people just touching the spoons.
I mean, I think everybody got it because we were all just partying in close spaces. But what I'm getting at is I agree with you and I agree with your sentiment. But there's people that go on cruises just so they can go to the buffet. And I know you're saying, well, you can have someone sitting there serving it. I think it's cheaper and easier. And what they're going to do and what they are doing is they just have the person as you enter the buffet peer pressuring you into do your hand sanitizer before you go anywhere, before you enter and start grabbing things.
Disney has it figured out. On both entrances to the restaurant, they have these troughs. Thanks, baby. You off to guitar lessons? Yeah. All right. Have a good lesson. Learn a good song. My wife takes guitar lessons and it's fucking adorable and she's getting really good. The other day I went in there and she was playing, oh, she brought me my glasses. Oh, Gary, you're here. she was playing this scale and I'm like, I don't even know that. Like, I don't even know any of that shit. And there she is just playing these scales. Anyway, the Disney cruise, there's somebody standing there with hand sanitizer, but there's also sinks going into the cafeteria area where you wash your hands. And so there's peer pressure, you know, and people stand there and they wash their hands and you go in there. So, I mean, that could be a thing too, but I just think it's super easy to have somebody on the other end of that thing with a huge spoon and you just point to it and you hold your plate out, you know, but that's fine. I digress. But anyway, now so my child is 10, of course he hasn't been on a boat in a couple of years, but even then, like he doesn't know what to do. Cause we don't go to places where you do that anymore. You know what I mean? Right. So like when he's on the cruise ship, if he's standing in line or standing there, it's like, you know, and he's just like, so do I just grab this donut? you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, use the tongs, you know?
That's one of those like lost in translation moments for parents though. Like, do I just grab that donut? And you're thinking like, oh, you just pick whichever one you want. And you'd go, right. Yes. And then they'd reach in with their hand and grab it. Yeah. And like, oh shit. Yeah. No, I meant yeah. get the tongs and grab
exactly.
it.
Yeah. And they're just like trying to, you know, the cheese slices that are like stacked like cards, you know, and they're really hard to get off there. And they're just like, look over and he's just trying to peel one back with his fingers and shit. And it's just like, it's got to be generational. Like, I don't know that he would know what to do at a salad bar. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he'd figure it out, but I can't imagine that he's ever been to one. Like, I really can't think of a time where that would be a thing. I know we went to like the breakfast buffet on the Disney boat. Cause dinners, on cruises, we always ate at the restaurant, you know?
And that's part of what I was saying. Like my family, we like to go have the sit down dinner and it's going to take 2 hours, but we're drinking drinks and having a good time and visiting. Right. But I know there's plenty of people that go on cruises for the buffet. They're never going to the fancy dinner.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, people like that shit. And it's like that at resorts too, right? I mean, you know, like if you go to like an all-inclusive, the lunch, there's always a buffet for each one of the meals, or you can go to a restaurant or whatever. But people like that. I don't know. Is that still a big thing in Vegas? Remember, I mean, I used to like, I don't know, 20 years ago, I liked to go to the buffet in Vegas, but I can't remember the last time I went to one.
I think we went to one once, but the thing is in Vegas, they're all like crazy expensive. Cause it's like, it's not shitty food. It's like good, right?
Lobster and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we went to one, it was probably 20 years ago. And that was the last time and only time I ever went to one in Vegas. But you know, all of this speak of, vacation dining is making me really want to go on a vacation.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say it's making you hungry and it's back to me oversleeping. And I haven't had anything to eat all day and I'm just like, fuck, we got good stuff coming up. Later on in the show, Alan Robert is going to be here. He is from the band Life of Agony and he does the Beauty of Horror coloring books. Another one of these multi-talented guys, Gary, you know, like,
yeah.
Recently we had Billy Martin on from Good Charlotte and that guy draws like Ninja Turtles now and shit, you know, and it's like, damn it. You know, like I'm not a very good golfer. You know what? I'm a pretty good gambler. You know, that's okay. So I'm pretty good at a couple of things. I can sing pretty well. I can play the guitar. Like it's like I'm ringing a bell, you know,
but you can't play a scale.
I can't play a scale to save my life. I don't even know. I mean, if you played it for me, I could play it back to you, but I wouldn't know. I don't know any of that stuff, like the theory stuff. That's pretty frustrating. It's not frustrating. I'm glad I don't dirty up my mind with that, because whenever I write a song and like somebody that knows theory is like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, yeah, but it sounds really cool. You know, so
I think it would be frustrating if you were sitting there for like hours trying to figure out now, how do I get to this next part of this song? But you're good enough to just go, I want it to sound like this. Boom. There we go.
But so, and I just go there.
You don't need. Yeah. You're fine. Everything's fine.
I'm fine. I know. But I do want to learn how to play piano better. And so I had this big thing. And, you know, it's not too late. It's middle of February in 2023.
Don't let it get to be March. It'll be too late.
I know. It'll be too. But I'm going to like set aside time every week for like an hour or 2 hours a week and just play piano and just like, and really just try and it's not really just for like songwriting purposes or anything like that. It's just literally just because I think it'd be cool to just be able to sit down behind a piano and play some shit, you know? Like,
so if you were actually to cut out the time and do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is your personality, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyways, your personality, somebody or your skill set, either one, somebody that goes, I'm going to need to go to a place and have someone teach me piano or with your own knowledge of music and already being able to play an instrument. Do you think you could go, I'm going to get this app and sit at a piano with my iPad and I'm going to learn it from the app?
I'm going to learn it from the app.
Yeah.
And
100%.
Because I don't need somebody to teach me every good boy deserves fudge or face. You know, like I know all the notes already. I know how to read time because I know how to read drums. So like I don't need to learn half notes and all this stuff. So it's interesting because, as you said, my skill set is not a beginner, but I don't know that I would say I'm intermediate either. I mean, I know enough. Like, I mean, I can play a few songs on the piano. So like, yeah, I need to just like learn. There's a couple of apps out there that I actually researched, and I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm just going to do the iPad app thing and, you know, and then, you know, just learn from some kid on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what I was getting at, is I think with your skill set and music knowledge already,
yeah,
and what ability you already have of sitting down and playing a chord or this or that, it's like, yeah, you don't really need to learn how to play the piano. You just need to learn a couple of tricks, you know, right?
That's right. Yeah, you know, and that's funny that you would say that, because that's sort of the thing, too, where it's like I've thought about, like, do I want to learn how to shred on guitar? And I actually, the answer is no. So I decided I'm just done. I'm done learning. Like, I know what I do, and it's Bowling for Soup, and that's what I play. And like, I'm king of all things octave, and, you know, like, that's fine. I'm good with that skill set. But like, that's all soloing on guitar is just, you just learn like a few little tricks, and then you put them in different spots, you know? And so I can do all that by ear already on the guitar. Like, I can learn anything just by hearing it. And so I don't really need to know what I'm doing. But on piano, I think I'd like to just be able to, you know, just put it all together, as you said, you know, but I'm going to do it. I think that's it was a New Year's resolution, but those are such bullshit anyway, because it's too much pressure. I'm too anxious for New Year's resolutions, I've decided. Like, it's like I did start out like eating better, and then I fell off the wagon and I was really hard on myself. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just too much. I need to just do these things because I want to do them.
That's, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I've done New Year's resolutions and they last, but other changes that I've made that lasted longer, sorry, the New Year's resolutions last for a little bit and then they go away. But the changes that you make throughout life that, for me at least, actually stick are like Tuesday resolutions, right? It doesn't have to be New Year's. It's like, I'm doing it because of this calendar starts, instead of like, you know what I need to do? And whenever it's, you know what I need to do, then it actually takes place.
I have not had a Diet Coke in 2023.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's fucking, you know, huge. What?
We talked a couple of weeks ago about how I couldn't even remember the last time I had one.
Yeah.
And Anik and I went to the movies the other day, which is kind of crazy in its own, because we don't go to the movies very often. But we went to the movies, and it was one that had the old school fountain. It didn't have like the new fountain where you press the button to select what drink you want. But it was an old school fountain. Well, usually I go and I get either iced tea or I get soda water. Well, this is old school, so it just had sodas.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to go watch a 2-hour movie without having a drink. So I'm going to have a Diet Coke. So fuck it. Yeah. I'm going to have a Diet Coke. I got a big old fucking glass and ice, and, you know, because it's the movie theater, you get the big thing, fuck, right? Yeah. I go to my seat and I sit down and I take the first sip and I was like, ah, this is gross. I don't want it. And so I didn't drink it.
Yeah, you did it. You got unused to the taste.
I got unused to I was looking forward to it, but
I haven't even thought about the movies. Man, this is fucked. Because we go to the movies a lot, but we haven't been this year. And I always get like a huge Diet Coke and like Milk Duds or something. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, you're right. Like, if they don't have tea, like, I gotta get something. I guess I'll just get water. But I mean, shit.
Look, this I'm not trying to be your enabler here. Okay. But like, most of the times that they say diets don't stick is because we're so absolute, right? And we're so absolute and so rigid that whenever you do fuck up, you're like, I fucked up and I'm off now. It's off forever.
Right. Dude, yeah.
Let the movie be your treat. Go have a Diet Coke at the movie. Fuck it.
And I made it through some really hard times because I had a sinus infection. And usually when my nose has stopped up, that's really when I want a Diet Coke for some reason. Like, I just love the way it feels. And, you know, it's just, you know, but we'll see what happens. We got to take a break. Later on in the show, Alan Robert will be here. We're super excited to have him. Band Life of Agony and the a really cool coloring book series for, but you know, and it's called The Beauty of Horror. And so anyway, I'm interested to see what he says. Lots of questions for him. So anyway, we are listening to the Rockstar Dad Show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show. I think we covered buffets and New Year's resolutions. And yeah. I just don't even know if there's anything else to talk about. I don't know. How did we get on the buffet thing anyway? Like it was...
How do we get on to anything? You know, we just get going point. And we go.
Everything. It just... A lot of times, like, you'll say... I've got a story to tell you about something, and I just go, welcome to the Rockstar Dad Show, and start talking about something, and then it's just like, woo, way off into the thing, and we forget what we're supposed to be talking about.
Never even talk about it. You know what? I can tell that we have been talking for a few minutes, though, because whenever we first started, you sounded a little tired or hungover. Your voice is coming back.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Yeah, you know what? I'm not hungover. We didn't really... go crazy. You know, I was actually only at the show. So the country band played last night in Austin at Garrow's Tacos. And they do this thing every Wednesday night. And apparently they've been doing it for like 13 years. And they were like, that's the most people we've ever seen on the dance floor. You know, which Bowling for Soup Jarrett would be like, that's hilarious. But Country Jarrett is like, fuck yeah. You know, I say things like thank you dancers and things like that now, and it just, you know, just a new me, and it's fun. But yeah, we had a really good show. But anyway, we had to drive back last night, and me and Rob had to make the decision. Like, Dave was driving and he didn't drink, and it was like, man, I've probably had four beers, so should we just drink beer on the way home, or do we just call it good? And so we drank beer on the way home.
Yeah,
but I still got in bed by like midnight. I just I didn't set my alarm. I must have gotten in an argument with myself about what time I wanted to get up. So I just fucking said fuck it and put my phone down.
If you didn't drink beer on the way home, I would have been shocked and asked what you did with my friend Jarrett.
Yeah, I know. It's like a 4-hour drive home, and it was. Yeah, I mean, we were on the road by like 8:45. You know. And so it was super early in the night, and it worked out good, though. We did this. We tried to play the Spotify game, but it gets more complicated as everybody's, you know, fucking wants to be on their own phone all the time. You know, like I sort of do miss the iPod. I feel like when Chris would have his iPod and we would all just go through there and select five songs or whatever, like those were the best times. Like it was just fucking great. Anyway, it was fun though. Good show. Anyway, so I just kind of woke up late but I'm excited to be here. But we have such great guests coming up. In the next few weeks, we're going to have Andrew McMahon on here, and I'm super excited to have him. You know, we played with Something Corporate, we played with Jack's Mannequin, and then we did the cruise with Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. God, he's a talented guy. And then also Steelheart, one of the biggest power ballads of the 90s. I'm freaking stoked about that. No, 80s, 90s. Power, you know, like that compilation, Power Ballads. They were definitely on that for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Super Bowl was fun. You guys came over, and we had, you know, the neighbors and some family, and it's getting more and more, like, it's always been fun to watch sports with your kid, but it's getting more and more fun because he just knows so much shit now, you know?
And, yeah, now whenever they're doing, like, the booth reviews and watching everything in slow motion, I always ask him, like, what do you think the call is going to be? And the kid got it, man. He like always has it. He knows what it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. He's God, he's so tall. And it's fun to watch the boys now because Everett's always been just enough younger than him to kind of annoy him every once in a while. And I think they're a little bit, they might be getting past that phase.
Yeah.
Know? Like I don't think Everett's quite as annoying because they were hanging out and kind of broing down a little bit. And
I don't think Everett's ever annoyed him. I just thought they're into different things.
No, that child at in swimming pools has always annoyed your kid, and it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine because he was being annoying. You know, it'd be like that whole thing of like, you know, just I don't know when a kid's just like not quite old enough, but not quite young enough for you to just ignore, you know, but yeah, they're good. This Mia though. Oh my God. She's adorable. And, man, I think she had a fun time. Was she tired the next day?
Oh my God. She was so tired the next day. She threw a fit going to school, which is unlike her. She's gotten over her not wanting to go to school.
Right.
But you know, she was just super tired and threw a fit and didn't want to go. And, it was really bad. Like Nikki, took her to school that day, and like the teachers had to like pry her out of Anik's arms and pull her away. It wasn't good.
She wore herself out. Yeah,
she wore herself out, but she had fun.
Yeah, that was good. You guys did the thing. We talked about this, but it was like you were like, "What can we bring?" And I'm like, "I don't know. You know, maybe something that kids like." Because we had mini cheeseburgers and spinach and artichoke dip and queso and these sandwich things, and there was this pull apart pizza that Bonnie makes and just like all of this stuff. And you stopped and got Golden Chick and it was the funniest shit because like I knew right when you walked in, I was like, oh man, that shit's going to go quick. And it did like every single adult there was a line for the Golden Chick chicken strips and, or chicken tenders. And I didn't get any.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, last year I think we brought Canes, and that's one of those deals. We couldn't bring Canes this year because Mia has decided she doesn't like Canes. Yeah. Now there's no reason. She used to eat it. She loved it. And just one day is like, I don't like that. I'm not going to eat that. So, we did get Golden Chick and yeah, it was gone super fast, but Mia, she ate her one chicken strip. And that's about all she's going to eat. And she ate it. Yeah. So,
you know, it's funny. Emma and Jack both did that a lot as kids. But like Emma just one day just didn't like Chick-fil-A anymore. And she was like, Jason's Deli makes me sick. And then Jack would pick like a couple of things that he didn't like. And it was just like, what the fuck? We literally eat that all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
So Tyler will do that. Mia does it. And she, tells you what's on her mind. So she'll do the, I don't like that anymore. I'm not eating it. I'm done with that. Tyler will make that decision, but he just doesn't tell you. And so like he's past this now, but when he was younger, he just would not eat lunch or dinner or whatever you got him. Right. Okay. That's weird. He loves this place. Then you'd go get it the next time and he wouldn't eat it. You get it the next time. He wouldn't eat it. You're like, what's going on, dude? How come you're not eating? I don't really like that place anymore. Well, I wish you would have told me, three times ago that you don't like that anymore because we keep on getting it.
It's probably better though, you know, like when they tell you, you know, it's even though it is frustrating, you know, but it's like we used to eat at Payway a lot. And then one day just Jack didn't like Payway anymore, you know, and so we didn't go there. And it's Everett doesn't really have any places that he doesn't like. So, you know, we're kind of all like, I feel like through the pandemic, we had to eat so much like Uber Eats and all that shit that we've just settled on like the six things that everybody in the house likes. And that's just all we get if we're doing that, you know.
Will Everett still eat anything?
Yeah, he pretty much eats anything. He, he's funny about like some kinds of meat. He choked one time on a piece of steak and it scared the shit out of him. And so he's a little bit weird about like pork chops and like red meat, like steak kind of stuff. He'll eat it, but he is just very cautious about it. You know, like if it's too chewy, you know, he's not having that. But which is fine. I mean, it probably just means that he's into like very well cooked things or things that are cooked the right way. I didn't mean well. But yeah, he pretty much eats it. I mean, the kid loves sushi. That's his favorite thing. And he doesn't just get like, it's not just California roll. Like he gets Vegas roll or, you know, something. And he just likes some of this stuff just as sushi or sashimi. And he just eats anything. He's, And but I mean, you have to like talk him into certain things. Like you have to reconvince him because he's just, you know, kids are just like that. But like Casey makes this thing with quinoa, broccoli, and butternut squash that is like it's so crazy because it's like, I'm not that picky anymore. It's not that hard to get a vegetable in me, but like, I don't like crave vegetables. I'm not ever like, man, you know, it'd be good as some squash, but this thing she makes, I just love it so much. And every time she makes it, he's just like, yeah, I don't know about this. And then he eats it. Huh. And he's fine. Yeah.
Vegetables are weird like that. Cause I like vegetables. They're fine. Right. But I don't ever go, man, broccoli would be awesome tonight.
I know. Right.
You know, but all the time you're like, you know what would be dope? Queso. Let's go get queso.
100%. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Like it's so funny. It's like, you know, I like asparagus and Brussels sprouts when they're done correctly. And, you know,
but
all those things.
I never crave it.
No, I'm never driving around going, you know what? And you know, that's why there's no drive-thrus that have that shit. You know, like
Have you seen now there's this new salad drive-thru place?
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
I haven't been.
Well, it's really good. In fact, it's a very nice, healthy thing, and you can go through and you can get, it's really cool. Like you can get everything done as a wrap or a salad, and it's like super fresh. And so they do like a buffalo chicken wrap or a salad or a Caesar. And like, they ask you like, do you want the croutons in that? And you know, like, you know, they're like, they just got it figured out, but they also do breakfast burritos there and they are delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those places are everywhere now. Like, it's like the Wiener Schnitzel from days gone by.
I didn't know they had anything other than salads, so breakfast burritos. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, just in the morning they do a breakfast burrito, and then in the afternoon it's just salads and stuff. But yeah, Casey will pick that up for me for lunch a lot. If she's out, she'll just be like, you want one of these salad things? And I usually get the chicken Caesar wrap, and it's good. Yeah, but hey, we got to take a break. Coming up, Alan Robert is from the band Life of Agony, and he does the coloring book series called Beauty of Horror, and he's a rock star dad. So that's coming up right after this break. You're listening to the Rockstar Dad Show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rockstar Dad Show. As I said earlier, Gary, we have a guest that people are going to freak out about here. And I'm pretty excited about it. Alan Robert is here. You may know him from the band Life of Agony. But so many more things that we have to talk about. How are you, Alan?
I'm doing great, man.
It's good to see you. You're certainly a busy guy and also a rock star dad. I guess people, you know, would know you best, would you say, from the band, from Life of Agony, from being the bass player for a band for quite some time?
Yeah, I think they do, but it's weird because with all the Beauty of Horror coloring books over the last, I guess, since 2016, it kind of exploded. So there's actually a whole different set of people that know me for that. Mm-hmm. and don't know the band at all, so it's kind of cool that way.
You know, it's so cool that there's such an interesting tie-in. It's something that we were talking about last night on the way home at a country show, and I was talking about having you on today, and you know, the tie-in with music and with comics and with you know, just art and all of that. You know, as we just had Billy Martin on from Good Charlotte, who is now, you know, an artist as well. I don't know. Where do you think that comes from? Is that just because we're all nerds sitting in our room when we're kids? And like,
well, I'll tell you, for me, you know, drawing, I got into drawing when I was 4 or 5 years old. So music came much, much later. I didn't pick up a guitar until I was 16. So I was always the kid at school at the lunchroom table drawing monsters and kids watching me what I was going to draw next.
Yeah. You know?
So that was my whole life. And I always pursued it in school. That's the one class I did really good in, you know? And so I ended up going to the School of Visual Arts for college. And when I was about to graduate, I had Walter Simonson as a teacher, by the way, who's the artist who drew Thor.
Wow.
And so I was about to graduate. That was 1993. And the band had just gotten signed to Roadrunner Records. And I had to make a decision. Should I pursue, you know, this comic book world or jump in the van with these guys and see what happens? And I figured, you know, with the degree, you know, at least I could get a real job if it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And I figured this band thing would be like a 6-month experiment and turn it to 30 years. So.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's funny how that works. Gary has a similar story without the degree.
Yeah. Dropping out of college to go do the band for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
my dad put it to me this way. He goes, look, just stick it out. Because I was going to quit probably with 3-4 months left. And he was like, just get the piece of paper and then do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was good advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, all too often we hear about that. Just in the world of, you know, like, yeah, dropped out, you know, 3 months before graduation. And you're just like, holy shit, that's a lot of work. But, you know, you couldn't sit, you know, but different circumstances. I mean, that had to have been a tough choice. I'm sure the guys, you know, were like, dude, we have a record deal. Like, you need to put full time into this now, you know, and probably even Roadrunner at the time, you know?
Yeah, it was a little bit of like, oh, let's wait for this guy, you know?
Yeah, but I guess, but you probably made the flyers, so they probably needed you, you know. To
yeah, I did every T-shirt for the past 30 years. So
well, back then too. I mean, if that were the case now, you just go on tour and take your classes online. But you're not doing that back then.
That's right.
Yeah.
In fact, when I graduated, I left all of my art, all of my supplies in the locker, and never went back.
Wow! Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, you said something interesting about it, and I sort of forgot about this, but you said, you know, when you were in school and you'd be drawing some, like, all the kids would be like around you, like wondering what you were going to draw next. And I actually remember, you know, the kid that could draw really well in school and us just like everybody just being just completely mesmerized by what it was that kid was going to draw next. And I'm sure that was that's probably a good feeling. You know, and
well, I'll tell you, I was a really quiet kid in those early years too. So it was a way for me to make friends really easily.
Yeah,
and it was definitely something that connected me with my peers in an easy way.
Yeah,
and it made things. It was like the ultimate icebreaker. You know, let me draw this zombie with a missing limb. You know, it's like. That's a perfect talking point.
Was it always kind of like that kind of stuff that you were into, you know, like drawing like, you know, undead stuff and just kind of spooky things?
Yeah. In fact, like I remember specifically, like we always had the Battle of the Bands, you know, in the high school,
mm-hmm.
and I would draw all the band's flyers for the thing.
Right.
And you know, logos with bones, and I was the kid in the neighborhood that painted everyone's jacket with the Iron Maiden Killers.
There
and
you
all
go.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a cool tie-in to have that with all the other local bands. Because I remember whenever we were growing up, there was like a weird rivalry between every band, and you're like have this connection to everybody where it sounds like you may be friendly with them all.
Yeah, it was cool like that.
Yeah. Our town was a little bit different, Gary.
like
they in other towns they banded together.
Yeah,
you get it. Hey, Alan, let's talk about being a dad. So how many kids do you have? What are their names and ages?
I have one daughter who's 15, and we had this whole conversation this morning about Phineas and Ferb and you guys.
Yeah.
And because I, you know, I drive her to school in the morning. I just got back from tour. We were out in Europe for a month, and I just got back. So I was taking her to school, and before we left, I was like, yeah, I'm doing this interview with these guys. And I played one of your older songs, mm-hmm. one of the videos. And she goes, that sounds like the Phineas and Ferb guys. And I was like, I don't know about that. And I didn't know about that. And sure enough, there it was. She God, knew more than me.
That is so funny. Yeah, it's that you can't get around the voice thing. Like I have, I was in line one time at Starbucks in the airport. And I was just talking to somebody, one of the guys. And when I get excited, you know, my voice is just sounds just like it is when I sing. And so I must have been a little bit animated. And some kid just turned around and just goes, "You're Phineas and Ferb." And I was like, "I'm not Phineas and Ferb, but yes, that's us that sings the theme." Well, that's super cool. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you know, hopefully she's excited. We got 40 more episodes coming out. So,
so you've great. you've got the 15-year-old daughter, you're driving her to school. Is that, have y'all made it through the awkward, you know, teenage dad's not cool? Have you not got to there yet? Or you think you're just going to get around that?
No, in fact, I think it's the reverse what happened, because she grew up very young. Everything was pink, princess dresses, tiaras, everything like that. And now she's come to the dark side. She's wearing like Black Sabbath hoodies. And so now dad's cool because I draw some Black Sabbath merch and Pantera merch. And so I got the cool dad cred now.
Do you really? You like, so you're in that world of merch design still for other acts, and you're doing stuff for like Black Sabbath and Pantera. Wow.
Yeah. In fact, we just did for Black Sabbath, the 50th anniversary of Volume 4. I did a nice lithograph and hoodies and skateboards and all kinds of stuff.
I mean, goodness gracious. So it's like, to me, you know, and I didn't mean to get off the subject of being a dad so quickly. We'll go back. But, you know, that's got to be seeing your art on the fans' walls or bodies of these bands that you grew up listening to has to just be like one of the greatest accomplishments. You know, I mean, I just can't imagine what that feels like.
It is amazing. It's, you know, just to even be thought of to try and draw something for a group like that, that I've been worshiping since, you know, I'm 13, you know, it's just amazing. Kind of mind blowing, surreal. It's been a surreal year actually this past year, because I did the Pantera stuff first for Vulgar Display of Power's anniversary, again, a lithograph and merchandise designs. And then I also went and did a story for their graphic novel coming up from Z2 Comics and the cover art for that.
Wow.
And that led to the Black Sabbath stuff. Yeah.
Wow. So we're talking to Alan Roberts. Robert, sorry. I didn't mean to plural you. I actually was reading your name at the exact
There's time. Two of me? Oh, my
God. Oh, my God.
Well, that would make my life so much easier. One guy could go on tour, one guy could sit home and draw.
Yeah.
Well, you said that it's been a big year. You know, I'm seeing that one of your Killology comic series is being adapted into an animated series. Is that something that's happening?
Well, that happened a few years ago.
Okay.
You know, that was a funny collaboration of different celebrities like Marky Ramone, Frank Vincent, who passed, who was in Goodfellas and Sopranos, Doyle from The Misfits, Brea Grant from Heroes, and kind of collaborated into this kind of comedic zombie apocalypse, you know, animation. And we actually use their voices and stuff in the animated 6-minute proof of concept that we put together. You can watch it online. It's pretty cool. But then Frank Vincent passed, and that kind of shifted everything. And then I started working on The Beauty of Horror, which has just been.
Yeah, it's Beauty of Horror. You started like around 2016 or so.
Right.
And there it's a series of coloring books.
Right.
Now, is this mostly like adults that buy these, or is it teenagers? I mean, because it sounds like something that like I would buy for me, you know?
I mean, it's pretty intricate designs, you know? It's not like the coloring books that we grew up on, you know? Color Mickey Mouse on newspaper print paper, you know? This is really beautiful books, really printed well. And the paper is perfect for coloring and all different types of mediums. And there's a whole, what I discovered was there's a whole, you know, legion of people around the world that are into coloring into these books. And before I released Beauty of Horror in 2016, it was mostly predominantly nature books, mandala books, pretty generic type of designs. And I actually released it as a spoof on that. And thinking it would be a one and done book, you know, Here's me poking fun at the adult coloring book, you know, craze. Here's a bunch of zombies in these beautiful gardens, you know. And when I got the green light to do the book from IDW, I really set out to like hit every horror mark I could possibly hit. I made my list of vampires, werewolves, you know, going into the whole, you know, the vault of horror tropes and just incorporating that into some beautiful designs. Yeah. And it just exploded. That first book exploded, and it got a lot of coverage. It sold a ton of books. And then, you know, here we are. Book six is coming out this year, and two more releases, a tarot coloring book and a best of.
When did that phenomenon start happening of the like adult coloring books? I've got plenty of friends that are artists and they always have continued to draw. But I remember a few years ago starting to notice other friends that aren't artists, but that they have their adult coloring books.
Yeah, I think a couple of years before mine came out, maybe 2013, 14, it started to really boom with one artist, Johanna Basford. She just exploded. She had a book called Secret Garden, I think. And then it just more and more just popped up, and you'd see them at the grocery store. They got so popular, you know. But if you plug in Beauty of Horror into Instagram, you could see all the colored versions of the designs. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, I can't color for shit. So it's like to see it come to life in such a professional way by all these just home colorists. It's such a great sense of satisfaction. Like, it's like this never ending art project, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Cause that's, I was wondering that as you were talking about it, I wondered the same thing. Like if, when you see how other people see, you know, you've given them sort of like this foundation or this skeleton, I guess, and to see how their mind puts it all together, and it's probably different, you know, in most people's minds, that's got to be really cool for you to think, I wouldn't have seen that way, you know?
Yeah. In fact, on this last tour with the band, I was hitting Manchester, England, and one of these colorists who I've seen over the last couple of years tagged me in their coloring pages from the Beauty of Horror. And she was like, would you ever do a book signing in Manchester? And I was like, no, but I'm playing in 2 days. You want to come meet me? I'll sign whatever you want. And so she came and she brought all her books, and she probably never been to a Life Agony concert before.
Right.
And we met, and I saw the colored pages, and she did dozens of them in real life. And it's to see it in real life as opposed to Instagram was just like unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, I did a post about it on my social medias too, so you could see her stuff. But really, it's rare that I get to meet the colorist in person, and it's such a cool experience.
Talking to Alan Robert here on the Rockstar Dad Show, and so let's go back to your 15-year-old daughter. You know, we often talk about as Gary sort of hinted at the coolness thing or whatever, but I actually asked Billy this too. It's like, You have this, you know, you're an author and an artist and a musician, and there's kind of a lot going on, you know. What is it that your child gravitates towards? What is she into?
I think mostly the art, because over the last couple of years, I've taken her to San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, Northeast Comic Con, and she helps me at the booth and meeting people, and she's sitting there drawing her own stuff. So I think that's plus she gets like backstage for like cool comic book events, and that's always cool. She's a big Lock and Key fan, and so she has like all the keys, you know, and she gets to experience that world. The concert stuff, she's been known in the last couple of years to fall asleep during sound check and then not make it for the show. But that may change in the next couple of years.
You know? That's just a teenager being a teenager. You know? Yeah.
It's like, come on, Dad, this takes forever.
Right. I know. That's our band, actually. There's nothing our tour manager hates more in the world than coming to tell us that it's time for sound check. You just imagine.
We do the quickest sound checks ever. I think we've narrowed it down to a quarter of one song.
Right. Yeah. Good.
We've got this battle between our tour manager and us, though, because he knows that we don't want to go. So he comes and tells us earlier because he knows it's going to take us a long time to actually get up and get going. But yeah, we know he's coming to tell us early, so we take longer. So he comes and gets us earlier, and it just, now he comes to tell us like an hour before sound check.
And we don't want to do it. It's our sound guy that is like, you know, trying to make it sound good for the audience, you know. And you know, but you guys are probably on in-ears, right? So
no, we're not.
What?
We're old school. Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, then, yeah. That's so. And going into like places or do you carry your own production or
nope.
Oh,
we actually don't even bring techs. We'll play 100,000 open air festival with no techs. We'll set up our pedals and everything.
You wow. Guys are brave.
Yeah, is it kind of like that in your genre? Is that something you guys do for economic purposes? What's the decision in all that?
You know, in the 90s, we had the big Prevo buses. We shipped all our gear from the US to Europe on pallets. You know, like we spent tens of thousands of dollars in crazy things like that.
Yeah.
Each one of us had our own private guy helping us out. And, you know, we would come back with nothing, you know, and it's just like over the years, I guess we kind of wised up on our own and we were just like, well, if we cut corners here and cut corners there, we could actually make a living doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's worked for, you know, I guess we learned that like 10 years in, you know, so 20 years, you know, we've been doing it like this.
We were backwards. We did it all ourselves until, you know, it got to the point where it was like, this is terrible. Like, carrying a freaking, you know, an Ampeg speaker up freaking metal stairs in the rain, you know.
Well, whoever designed the Ampeg giant cabinet like that should be killed. I mean, this is, it just shouldn't happen. Like,
yeah,
I actually switched to Orange and I have the 4x10s now because it's more civil. Human backs, you know,
that refrigerator and it was the industry standard, right? For the listener that's wondering, it's like if you have ever seen a band, chances are they had this one bass cabinet. It's what every single band had for, I mean, the majority of the time that rock and roll has existed.
Guaranteed, if you went to a show, it was on stage
for sure. Yeah, there, somebody was playing through one, and these things are massive and they're heavy, and they're like, there's not handles on them. You wheel it like a refrigerator, like you would like a dolly, you know. And my God, they're just backbreaking.
They're just cruel. It's really just
cruel. Just the worst. It really is.
They sound great, but they're just really not fit for humans.
You're a quiet guy, and you know, you like to draw. I wonder what was isolation like for you guys, you know, and you find yourself at home and you're not allowed to go anywhere, you know, for a couple of years. Did you throw yourself into work? Did you throw yourself into music, art, all the above?
A little bit of both. Besides the anxiety of will this ever end, I really focused on drawing hours and hours a day, and it was like my busiest year. And everyone was locked home and looking for stuff to do and unplug, so coloring books actually were a big commodity.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
So it was kind of, that worked out well for me. And then at the same time, we had started filming a documentary for the band. before the pandemic, and so it gave us a chance, along with the director, to put the final edits on it, and that finally came out. It's called The Sound of Scars, and it's a heavy emotional documentary about the inner workings of the band and more about our relationships and the trauma we all went through to create the band and our family lives and all that.
Yeah. I mean, I assume, you know, it goes into the sacrifices that you make, you know, to be in a band and you said, you know, families and things like that. I mean, it's very hard. You know, it's one of those things where you just, you know, once you make that commitment to do this, you're going to miss. I don't know that it's jokingly, but we, you know, just basically said, you know, you don't go to funerals anymore. You don't go to weddings anymore. We don't go to birthday parties. Like, because if all of us do all that stuff, then we're never going to be able to play out. So this is just what you do now, you know?
Yeah. That's definitely all part of it. And I've missed so many events over my lifetime. It's really terrible, but, the film itself, it goes deeper than that. It goes into like substance abuse and domestic violence and everything that my singer has gone through to come out transgender. It goes pretty. It's pretty layered film. It's on Amazon Prime right now.
Wow. And what's it called again?
The Sound of Scars.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that I love stuff like that. And I'm a crier from way back, so I will probably find lots and lots of emotion in that. And now you mentioned Europe a lot. Is that sort of where the band thrives the most?
I think we've always done well there. So we decided to kick off our anniversary towards our 30th anniversary of our first record, River on Dread. And so we decided to kick off the first leg in Europe and the UK. We're actually head out in a couple of weeks with Sick of It All on the Northeast and Canada. And then we're doing that Sick New World Festival in Vegas and going up and back to Europe a bunch of times throughout the year.
Man, you're staying busy still. Life of Agony, you guys have been going for what do you say, 30 years?
Yeah, well, the first record came out in 93, so a couple of years before that we started.
You're 1 year ahead of me on everything. You're 1 year older than me. Your band is 1 year older than me. It's like I can't do anything before you do it. You know?
Kudos to that, though. I mean, it is tough to keep a group together going that long.
Well, you know, there was a couple of years in there that we didn't do anything. When my singer came out as transgender, it kind of changed the dynamic, and we weren't sure if we could be a band or wanted to be a band at that point. Mm-hmm. And then she decided she did. So, and we were fully supportive, and we went back out, and thankfully the fans embraced her with open arms, and it's actually been a lot stronger since then because she has kind of come out of her shell as a performer, and where she was very reserved. As a confused male back in the 90s, when she came out, she was a lot freer soul and just really in everyone's faces since then. It's been great. It's been great. You know, it's like we finally got our friend back. And
yeah, it's a siblinghood, right? And so, yeah. You know, whether it's your brother, you know, or your sister, you just want them to be happy. And, you know, and I'm sure that makes just for a happier life for all of you guys. Cause again, and I'm sure even talking in the substance abuse stuff too, like, you know, it's something that you, whether you like it or not, you all go through it together. Man, it's just, you know, again,
and it really is a family operation because the singer and the guitar player are cousins, first cousins. And I came along as an early teen hanging out with them. And so we practically lived at each other's houses growing up. So we've been doing it that long.
That's so cool. That's so cool. And so the comic book, the coloring books is what you're doing like at the comic cons these days. And they, again, I'm just so impressed. It always, like, anytime somebody can do like more than two things like really well, you know, I just get like, it just pisses me off, you know. It's like this Jared Leto, right? This guy cannot do anything wrong, you know. And
he's super talented.
God damn it, he can skateboard, he can act, he can sing. Now he's got a cult, you know. I mean, my God. Anything he can't do, you know. Well, you guys got any plans for the you know, I know that you're busy with the band. What about family time? You guys got anything coming up? Any, you guys gonna do anything this summer or you know, what's going on?
Well, like we said, we miss all these events, right? So I actually fly to Europe on my 20th wedding anniversary. So I decided to fly my wife and daughter out, and we could, you know, they could experience Europe and be a part of it for the first time.
And you guys are in a Sprinter van there? You're not doing like the big bus and stuff?
Yeah, we just do van and hotels. We find it more civil again. Yeah, you know, so, just a little more livable. Everyone gets their own space at night after a show, your own shower. You know, I'm sure you guys could attest to, you know, using venue showers for many years. If you get some hot water, you're lucky, you know,
especially in other countries. I mean, you know, if you, you know, you and that just, you know, the buildings are so old and it just, you know, you take what you can get. But man, well,
there's plenty of venue showers, though, that you make the decision. Do I want to take this shower? Because I may be more filthy after the shower.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Or the towels. The towels could make you dirty.
So are your daughter and wife piling in the Sprinter van with you guys? Are they going to do some of their own stuff exploring around? How's that going to go?
No, I'm going to send them off to a country that I actually end up in. And so they get to, I made some dear friends in Belgium by touring there so much. And so they're going to stay with them for a couple of days and sightsee, and then meet up with me at the Grass Pop Festival in Belgium. And then we'll go home together, I think.
Oh, awesome. Man, that's so awesome. I mean, again, 20 years married is no small feat. And that takes a touring musician's wife is literally doing the Lord's work. It is. It's incredibly I couldn't do it. Like, I know the pressure that we put on our wives, you know, and it's, and, you know, I'm sure that it's like this for you. But Gary and I talk about this all the time. And now Rob is a dad. And it's like, everything's great, and then you leave home, and like, okay, the refrigerator stopped working, and the dishwasher doesn't work, and there's a hole in the fence, you know?
Yeah, I think it's all time to our, you know, departure, I think, because everything's fine when you're home, you know?
Yes.
It's just that, as soon as you walk out the door, everything falls apart.
Yeah, it literally, so the weird. Last time we landed in England, we landed, and I picked up my phone, turned it on, and I had a message from my wife. That, you know, it was winter and our heater had gone out. Like, of course it happened the day that I leave.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So we've started to plan ahead for like catastrophes. So like, you know, if there's a huge blizzard, I know somebody I could call to come dig her out. You know?
Yeah.
Smart
thinking. Yeah. That is good thinking. Good.
Only because we've lived through it once already.
Yeah. That's a pro tip. I'm going to take that into account.
Alan Robert, Life of Agony, 30 years as a band, a coloring book series called Beauty of Horror, and countless other things. You know, I mean, goodness, drawing merch for iconic bands. Super cool. Where can people find you on social media?
Just my name, alanrobert.com. We'll send you everywhere you need to go.
Yeah.
You know, keep one of the simple. Coolest things recently that, you know, that came out of the coloring book thing was I always wanted my own action figure, you know, growing up with, you know, Star Wars figures, G.I. Joes and stuff. I finally got an action figure made of the character in the Beauty of Horror.
Oh, hell yeah.
Her eyes glow and everything. This is Guliana, and she just came out from NECA, NECA Toys.
Very
and
cool.
And that's everywhere now. So that is really exciting. We're going to do like bigger things and stuff with her too.
Very cool.
It is cool too. Like what comes along with all of the, you know, all of that these days, you know, like adults are just into stuff, you know, like I have, like this, every one of these Milo from the Descendants action figures, you know?
Yeah.
My son came in the other day. He's just like, why do you have these? And I go, I honestly don't know. I saw one, and then I was like, I must have all of these. And why are they
still in the box?
It's a good thing he's a little bit older when he found it. Otherwise, he may have just ripped into it.
100%. I even have the Milo bobblehead.
Oh, yeah.
So he bangs his head like Milo.
I don't know if you can see, but behind me, I have like the Doyle Misfits figure and some other things.
Yeah, it's one of the, when in our bathroom I used to have the Pulp Fiction action figures just right over the toilet in the guest bathroom, and just one day my wife was just like, you know, I think it's time for these guys to move somewhere else. And so off they went. Well, Alan, thank you so much for your time today and for being a rock star dad. Good luck with everything, man. Anything else to plug or anything to shout out?
I think we covered it.
I think
lot,
we did.
We did. But I appreciate it. And it's really great meeting you guys.
It's good, man, to meet you too, man. Hopefully we'll see you down the road. And take care.
Take care. See ya.
Man, that dude was awesome.
The pro tip of thinking about what's going on. Okay, is it winter? Have a heating guy. You know, like there's for helping the wives whenever we go out of town. That's awesome.
You know, it's funny on Music Networking 101, shameless plug for one of my other endeavors. We talk a lot about having everybody in the band be good at something else, you know, and like, you know, I feel like this day and age, that's just so important because it's just all this content driven thing. But like, you know, imagine having a guy, you know, that could just fucking draw like that, you know, just in your in-house, you know?
Yeah.
And,
you need new artwork. Okay, let's go.
We just have new artwork, you know? Yeah. I remember when we used to play with the Vims all the time, you know, like, man, their flyers were always so awesome. And, you know, because they had two artists in the band.
Yeah.
And, but you know, that's super important anyway. So if you're listening to this and you're starting a band, you know, if you're like really good at video editing, make sure your bass player can draw. And
it's like they say with sports scouts, you know, like, whenever your scouts are scouting for college or something, they're not just looking at, you know, can you hit the ball or throw the ball or catch, right? Like they're looking at, can you make your grades? Can you treat your teammates well? If you do bad, do you bounce back? Right. So like if you're starting a band, don't just look for a good bass player. Look for someone who can, you know, draw or do taxes or
exactly something. Somebody that's good at accounting or whatever. But of course, it doesn't always work like that, but it sure is nice when it does. All right. Well, we got to wrap up. Thanks to Alan for joining us. What a great guy. And, I guess we'll see y'all next week. Rockstar Dad Show.
Later.
Y'all be good.
This is a song for my friends Jared and Gary. They started a podcast and said a theme was necessary. They're just a couple of guys in a band that you know. Some rockstar dads who started a show. Until the next episode.